who went out at dawn to hire workers for the vineyard. After reaching an agreement with them for the usual daily wage, the owner sent them out to the vineyard. About mid-morning, the owner came out and saw others standing around the marketplace without work, and said to them, "You go along to my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is fair." At that, they left. Around noon, and again in the mid-afternoon, the owner came out and did the same. Finally, going out late in the afternoon, the owner found still others standing around and said to them, "Why have you been standing there all day?" "No one has hired us," they replied. The owner said, "You go to my vineyard too." When evening came, the owner said to the overseer, "Call the workers and give them their pay, but begin with the last group and end with the first." When those hired late in the afternoon came up, they received a full day's pay, and when the first group appeared, they assumed they would get more. Yet they all received the same daily wage. Thereupon, they complained to the owner, "This last group did only an hour's work, but you've put them on the same basis as those who worked a full day in the scorching heat." "My friends," said the owner to those who voiced this complaint, "I do you no injustice. You agreed on the usual wage, didn't you? Take your pay and go home. I intend to give this worker who was hired last the same pay as you. I'm free to do as I please with my money, aren't I? Or are you envious because I am generous? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last."
There's a woman who got into a startup business that makes widgets. And within 10 years, she had built up this company with over 100 employees and a thriving business in widgets. She loved her work. She loved her employees and her community, and she enjoyed contributing to the well-being of people through this business that she had created. In January, she received an extraordinarily large order for widgets in a short period of time to be delivered and knew she'd need some extra employees for at least the next week. So she called up the local employment agency on a Monday morning and asked them if they had any people who were willing to work and available to come for the week. They sent her several people who arrived shortly, and they went to HR, settled how much they would be paid for the week, and then were sent off to work. The next morning, knowing that she needed more employees, she called the employment agency again and asked if they had more people who could work, and another batch of people came shortly and were sent off to work. The employer did this the entire week, right up until Friday. On Friday afternoon, she had all of the temporary workers come to HR to receive their pay, but in the reverse order in which they were hired. When the people who had been hired just that day came into HR and received their checks, they were incredibly overjoyed to find that they had been paid a full week's wages. Bounding out of the office, they shared their joy with those in the line behind them. And those at the end of the line, of course, got very excited, anticipating that they would actually make a lot more than the employees who had been hired just that very day. And as the line moved on, the people in the line quickly discovered that everyone who went into the office received exactly the same pay. Everyone in the line, of course, was happy, except those who had been hired the very first day. The workers at the end of the line became very disgruntled and incensed when they went in and came out with the same paycheck as those who had been hired that very day. How dare they work for a full week and some less than a day and get the same pay? It was not fair. After picking up their checks, which is the amount they had initially agreed on, by the way, They called for the owner to come and explain to them why they had made the same amount of money for way more work than the late hires. So the owner, the woman, came to the floor to meet with the disgruntled workers, and they made their case to the owner and griped about the unfairness of her practice. After the woman had listened to their complaints, she said to them, "I happen to know that to live comfortably in this community and to provide for your family and needs, it costs $1,000 per week. And that's what I paid everyone. You all have enough to live for a week. What business is it of yours if I choose to pay others a week's wages so they have enough to live for the next week just as you do? What I do with my money is my business. You got what you were told and you got what you needed. Is that not enough?" Of course, it wasn't enough for those who wanted and expected more than they actually needed. It didn't make any sense to them, and quite frankly, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us the way we've set things up. This parable of the vineyard has always grated people. That's actually the case with all of Jesus' parables. If we understood them as they were meant to be understood, most of them would challenge our way of thinking because they are meant to shift our thinking towards kingdom thinking. Yes, she's lit up today. Jesus made it clear right from the beginning that this story illustrates God's ways and God's kingdom thinking and not the way the world thinks. Where we think that it would be fair for the first workers to get more pay, Jesus says, no way. Jesus never claimed that God is fair, at least fair in the way we understand it. God did make it clear that Jesus made it clear that God is good and generous and just, and that fairness, in fact, consists of everyone getting what they need, getting enough. That God doesn't provide some with more than others. God provides what people need. And that in God's economy, everybody should be content with getting enough. No way, we say. People who work harder should get more. That's the way the world works. And that's the way we think it should work. In God's economy, work is not tied to our worth or our worthiness or to any material reward. It is tied to need. Work isn't the basis for having more money and more stuff. Work is the basis of satisfaction, of pleasure, and purpose in God's economy. Working harder doesn't mean that you deserve to have more. That's how we've set it up. But enjoyment and meaning is the purpose of work, not making money. Enjoyment and purpose is the meaning of work. Not making money. They are separate. The writer Ecclesiastes puts it this way: it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. Nothing about earning a living. Humans have done great damage to each other and to the environment by basing our worth on how much we make or on how much we have. And that's a problem. It has become a big problem in our world. If our work is tied to our worth, if our work is tied to how much money we make or how much stuff we have. First, the problem is that those who are unable to work as hard or who have limited access to work are worth less or are worthless. If you can't work, you're worthless. That's how our society values people. And as we're taught, in fact, by our faith tradition, that everyone, every single human being is of invaluable worth to God. It's not tied to any outward appearances. There's no one person more worthy than another in God's economy. And secondly, this is the other problem, and it's a big one. There will never be enough money or stuff to meet people's insatiable need, so we will keep pillaging the earth and competing with each other for its resources to continue to have more and more. It's an issue, and it is going to be our downfall. What is going on in the world today is a direct result of this way of thinking. We need more. We need to keep more for ourselves. We all want more so that we can prove that we're better than others. It is wrong thinking according to God's economy. The parable of Jesus just told us so. The last will come first in the kingdom of God. They are considered worthy by God to receive just as much as the next person. The poor, the disabled, the oppressed, the wounded, the broken, all the people in the world who don't have enough deserve enough in God's kingdom economy. And just to be clear, it is not based on who works more or who works less. Those who work little or those who work a lot are worth the same to God and deserve to have enough. Values today have gotten so out of line with this principle that we're now basing our value on how much money and how many things we can get for our work, not how much satisfaction we get out of our work. This is a problem because work has now become a means to an end rather than something that gives us an intrinsic sense of value and pleasure. People aren't getting pleasure and a sense of worth from their work, and we spend an awful lot of time at work. That means that people will keep demanding more and more money because we have been told that our worth depends on it. And if I can't feel good about my work, I might as well get lots of money for it. I was talking about this at DeWitt, and somebody said, I hated my job my whole time, but my favorite job is the one where I made lots of money because that at least balanced out the hate that I had for my work. It's not the way it's supposed to work. Our worth is not based on how much we make, or how big a house we have, or how many cars we have. It's not. And this working like this in our world is a fool's pursuit. It will never make for a better world. I can't tell you how many I have spoken to recently who would love to leave their jobs, good jobs. Jobs that used to be considered noble and worthwhile. And people want to leave them these days. So few people are getting the intrinsic reward that people used to get from their work. So they're demanding more and more money because that's all they think their job is worth anymore. And this way of looking at the world is slowly destroying the world. The antidote is to work toward an equitable distribution of wealth that values everyone, regardless of their ability or access to work. In God's economy, what's good and right is that everyone have enough to live, that we take care of everyone's needs first. Those who can work do so because it feels good to work. We all love to work. Our bodies are made to work. And it's a sense of contributing to the well-being of others, and because just good, hard work is satisfying. Those who stay home for whatever reason, or can't work, or are raising children, should also receive enough to meet their needs and provide for the well-being of their families. Those who are unable to work should be provided with enough to live well and contribute in other ways to a healthy community and world. This is God's economy. We need a shift in values. And we should not feel disgruntled when we see that people are getting enough to live. We should celebrate that. all should be generously treated. God has provided enough for everyone, and all that has been provided should be distributed in the world so that everyone is looked after. That's the way it's supposed to work. This is what the kingdom looks like, Jesus said. He said that the last will be first, and the first will be last. The poor in body and spirit will get the first fruits of God's abundance. They are put at the front of the line so God can look after them well. It may not seem fair to us in the economy we practice today. What it is good and right and just. Where we value more, God values enough. And that those who are last will get to be first in line to have enough. God's economy is based on God's love for all of us, every single one of us. It has nothing to do with our material value. It has everything to do with God's love and our intrinsic value. Our role as Christians in God's world is to live out God's ways, not our own. We will work to make the world as God would have it. This is the challenge that Jesus throws out to anyone who follows his life and teaching. The question is, are we willing to take this life, his life and teachings, seriously and try to make them a reality? Let's take a moment for reflection.